And welcome to A Link to the Cast, the best video games radio show, stroke podcast, stroke downloadable content you can get your hands on. It's episode 7 and it's a musical extravaganza, apparently. Brian Shelf will have a full-on Rock Band Beatles versus Guitar Hero 5 war. It could get messy. We'll also hear from the editor of Word magazine on how the music industry is jumping in bed with the video games world. And also, he's back, Ricardo is here, and he'll have a review of Blue Blaze, the Japanese beat-em-up on PlayStation 3. We must reacquaint ourselves with the Italian stallion, Ricardo.
How you doing? It's good to be back, I've got to say that. And actually, just to point out, sorry, it's Blaze Blue, man. You got to get your Jap beat-em-ups right.
Oh, what did I call it?
Blue Blaze, I think.
Ah, that's a better name anyway.
Move on.
Nobody else noticed until you just flagged it up then. Brian Shelf is our Xbox 360 man and joins us as well.
Hello.
Have you got anything to admit at this stage in proceedings?
Well, last time, Ricardo was unfortunately unavailable for the podcast, and we amusingly cooked up between us the idea of staging something with fake audio. And unfortunately, my production skills are so great that people genuinely believe that I'd upset Ricardo and made him walk out of the studio. So apologies to the virtual Ricardo who did walk out. The real Ricardo, what was your view? Did it fool you?
I had a good laugh at it. The laughter faded when people started asking me about the back waxing experience, which really isn't anything to do with me. But hey, I thought it was good. I think you did a good job there. And I'm really sorry I missed the last one. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it was good. It was great.
Yeah, it was really, really, really good.
I see what you're doing.
Better than most.
Yeah, I think it was. Jay Pimblett, I'm afraid he's gone to the video games review scrap heap in the sky. We will hear from him again.
I'm sure.
He's a dreamboat, the ladies love him.
You mention this a lot, Mick, actually. Have you got a bit of a man crush on him?
I'm trying to build up characters. It's all about characters, people buying into the show. So I'm just trying to, I'm the geeky one. He's the good looking one. You're the smelly one. Ricardo's the cockney one. You know how
the hairy. Ricardo's the hairy one.
The short, angry, hairy one. Great.
Short. He said it for himself.
Well, you may as well.
My name's Mick. I do all things at Nintendo, Wii, and DS. Ricardo's our PS3 man. Howdy. And Brian Shelf is our king of consoles, so he claims. On the Xbox 360, he's going to be reviewing Guitar Hero 5 and also taking a look at Rock Band Beatles as well. That's all to come on A Link to the Cast. That normally, as part of this section of the show, to help, again, build our characters more, I ask a question. It's a personal question, and Ricardo, I'm going to aim it at you first. It's quite a simple question, but I think what you answer and how you answer this will say a lot about you and your beliefs. And the question for this episode of A Link to the Cast, episode 7, is which of the major religions is the correct one?
Which of the major religions is the correct one? Okay, Jedi every time, surely. I mean, it's not something that I'd subscribe to, but just the belief of the Force, the belief that we are all one and we can all shape the universe. There you go. That would be the one for me.
Can I just suggest, if you actually have to subscribe to the religion, then it's not probably
surely
a proper religion.
Surely you subscribe
religion.
To any religion anyway.
Well, I don't know. They pass around a collection plate.
Yeah, you pay your pennies every week, don't you?
The days of tithes are well and truly gone now.
Maybe.
I think there aren't enough. I think people, when they listen to this show, should pay a tithe.
It
doesn't have to be in the form of cash. It can be in the form of anything that maybe, you're a painter and decorator, put up a bit of wallpaper for us.
That would be good, yeah. We could get maybe a little a mural of things that we get offered. Yeah.
So what you're saying, Ricardo, just for the record, is you want to reinstigate communism through the podcast.
I go for Jedi.
Get rid of Western democracy. Instigate a cash-free society.
No. That's not really what I said at all.
I'm surmising
money in the Star Wars.
I'm surmising what you were saying, I think we got the general point there. Thanks for that. Let's do the headline comp. Okay, so it's back. Ricardo's back. It's A Link to the Cast on MP3 on download and on your computers as well. Every time we do A Link to the Cast, we do a headline competition. It's Ricardo and Brian Shelfie's favourite parts of the programme. What I do is I come up with a story, which has occurred from the world of video games. You have to imagine, if that story occurred in real life, what would the headlines read in the tabloid newspapers? The tabloid newspapers. If they picked up on this story, how would they write that? Here is A Link to the Cast, episode 7's headline competition. Zelda's hero took part in a practice session with his angry sibling. Okay, so Zelda's hero took part in a practice session with his angry sibling. I can hear Brian Shelf furiously scratching away with a pen. Either that or the knits are back. Ricardo's looking perplexed.
I am absolutely shocked here.
Okay, play along at home. You've got to imagine, if it actually happened, it's a bit of a pun fest. Zelda's hero took part in a practice session with his angry sibling. If that happened in real life, which it obviously hadn't or hasn't, could happen soon, I don't know. What would the headline read in the new newspaper? Have a think. We'll come back to this by the end of the podcast. Okay, let's do the news. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we'll start with the news, and we'll start with news for Nintendo DS owners. A group led by Nintendo apparently demanding $4.4 million in damages against four importers of devices used to play pirated software on Nintendo DS. Apparently, in a suit filed on Saturday with the Tokyo District Court, Nintendo and 54 makers of DS software demanded that the company started importing and selling the R4 Revolution and similar devices called Magicon in Japan that allow users to download pirated games and play them on the Nintendo DS handheld like normal game cartridges. Apparently those devices are illegal. R4 Revolution cartridges. Brian Shelf, have you heard of these?
I have heard of them, yeah, and they're immensely popular among pirates. You can understand it, because games are so expensive to make, and the fact that you can go online and just basically download every single game available for the DS in one fell swoop, and, you know, essentially all you have to pay for is this R4 piece of equipment. You know, you can understand why they're annoyed. However, you know, technically, is this cartridge actually in itself illegal? It's the websites that they're going after, really, isn't it?
Well, that's what the point I was going to make. Essentially, they open up your DS to extra media, because you can put a whole heap of things in. You can choose to put games on there, but actually, there's a number of different sort of media you can put on there as well. So, is that what they would say? Well, you know what? If people are going to use our technology for this reason, that's not down to us.
But did that ever really happen with the, like, torrent spike? Because to me, it sounds like something similar to BitTorrent and all those software programs online, which allow you to download films. But, yeah, like Brian was getting at the point, it's not really the program that people were then try and put the lawsuit against. It's the websites that provide you with the means of then downloading it. So the people that actually say, well, you can download the films here, or in this case, the websites that allow you to there download the games directly onto your DS.
Brian Shelf, do you blame the player or do you blame the game?
Well, you've got to blame the people who are doing it. You can't take away any responsibility from the fact if you download something illegally, no one in this day and age thinks that if they stumble across a brand new game that they can download without actually having to pay any money, no one out there thinks they're not breaking the law. Mm. I can't speak on behalf of the company. The company must be aware of the fact that people can use it for this, whether they condone it or not. I doubt they do condone it, because they get themselves in all sorts of in legal trouble if they sold it as this is a way to play pirate games. So, you know, I'm sure they don't do that. You know, but it's a very strange tactic again, and it sort of alienates a lot of people who play games. You know, the same thing happens in the music industry, whereas I suppose if somebody's downloading, you know, a single, they've lost 79p of revenue. If they're downloading a game, you know, a DS game is usually typically 35 quid. It's a lot more money, and there's a lot more money goes into the first place. Yeah. So, you know, I can't condone it, because, you know, people are stealing copyright material. But at the same time, it's kind of fruitless and pointless to fight against it. It's always going to happen.
I think that there should surely be a case against the people that make this R4, you know, a DS cartridge, though, surely. Because if you could restrict that cartridge as to what it could play, if it could play JPEG images and actually play audio, then, you know, you're actually ruling out the fact that it wouldn't be able to then play DS games. If it could have some sort of software on it which would only allow you to use, you know, like I say, certain types of images or music or certain types of video, so it wouldn't be able to do executable files or anything like that, then surely you're cutting it off at source.
Well, you know, people might want to make their own games and play their own games. And again, you know, surely you should be allowed to do that. So again,
is the software out there, though, to make it in DS language, you know, freely?
I don't know. People always bang on about homebrew. It's something I know nothing about, but people are always cooking up programs for consoles the whole time. So, and you know, again, I don't think you can put restrictions on these things in the same way that a knife manufacturer doesn't want their knives to be used for murder,
This isn't a knife, though. If somebody brought out an attachment for your Xbox, which would then allow you to download films before they've been in the cinema, then that's clearly illegal. But I'm saying the distinction in this case is you can't restrict maybe playing a picture or a video, but you would be able to restrict playing an executable file. A game has a different type of execution.
That's true, but you've raised an entirely different point here. I can download films illegally from the internet and play them on my Xbox. I download them as AVIs or
You don't
MPEGs
do it through your Xbox.
But do you then prosecute the people who make the memory sticks that I could transfer it from one computer to another computer on to watch it?
No, but that's not the same, though.
The memory stick is the same as a piece of technology used to play an illegally downloaded game.
I agree with what you're
on.
Saying. You can't prosecute a memory stick producer, but I'm saying in this case, cartridge which goes into your DS has to have some sort of software on it for the DS to recognize and then execute from. It's got menu-based software so that you can choose what game you've downloaded, and for example. So you've got already a control over what it can play. I'm just saying, if you can rule that out in the first place, if you can make it so that cartridge would only play certain types of files because it's already got its own little system on it, then you'd be cutting this off at source.
Well, you know, again, I'll go back to my knife analogy. What do? You go to the knife manufacturers and say...
It's different to the knife. That's what I'm saying.
Not. No, but it's like, you say to the knife manufacturers, you know, some people are using these knives to stab people. So
we're obviously not going to agree here.
But unless you stop people using them to stab people, then we're not going to allow you to sell your knives anymore. That's a very strange thing.
I understand what you're saying with a knife, but I'm saying that it's different in this case.
I'm going to call time on this one.
We're not going to find the same people.
I think it's interesting because I think Nintendo going to court is quite something. I think is well worth a look at. If you want to find out more on that, Variety.com, a website which has got full details on that story, makes for very, very interesting reading and certainly is a big talking topic among gamers, certainly too here. There is a game, it was out, depending on when you're listening to this, out this week, and it's become the second fastest selling game ever in the UK behind Grand Theft Auto 4. What was it?
Second fastest selling game ever this after week. Grand Theft Auto this week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm stumped.
FIFA 10. FIFA 10 came out on Friday. It has absolutely blown absolutely everything else out of the water. As I say, second fastest game in terms of selling of all time. Professor Layton and the Pandora's Box is out this week as well. That's only second. Halo 3.
ODST.
ODST. In at 3. Need for Speed Shift. Wii Sports Resort. Guitar Hero 5 in at 6. I thought that's very interesting. FIFA 10, there's always been this FIFA versus Pro Evo battle. It's bubbled under for so long that people were always Pro Evo. And FIFA 10 has just had enough tweaks for people to go, this is the game we've got to get our hands on. I know a couple of people who booked the day off work to go out and buy this game and play it. I say fair play to the boys at EA. It's taken a while for them to get a real, real killer, app for FIFA, but they've done it.
I think this new one is absolutely stunning. It's a brilliant game to play. I think this year was actually probably going to be Pez's year if they could get the release date sorted, because the new Pro Evo is just so fluid. It is an excellent enactment of football in your own living room. But last year's Pez was rubbish, and I think this year's sales figures are proving it.
Yeah, and I think fair play to EA, because obviously they roll the game out each and every year, but they've done something a little bit different, and I think it's really got the fans going, and well done to them for that. Okay. I'm going to pick out some other DS releases which are coming out very soon. Certainly out this week, depending on when you're listening to, is the new Mario and Luigi game on DS, Bowser's Inside Story. Don't download one of them to a R4 device or whatever.
I really hope, is it one of these mini RPGs?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I really hope the problem that's dogged this series, and as much as I loved playing them, is ludicrously long boss battles that will go on for half to three quarters of an hour. So hopefully they'll have cleared that up, but it's kind of making me wary of buying it, because some of the other ones, it's just, you know, when things go past the point of being fun, just to the point where you're like, oh, don't let it use a spell on itself to get some more health points back again. Yeah. I've been fighting it for three quarters of an hour, so hopefully that'll be sorted out.
Yeah, I think the scripting on these RPG games is just something else, and I think it's enough on its own. And to hear Mario going, Luigi, is just absolute genius. So that's Bowser's Inside Story. You can tell Christmas is coming up. I'll just read you out a few titles out in November. My Baby 2.
My Baby 2, is that some kind of paternity battle? Is it T-double-O on the end?
There's another one, Madagascar Carts. Ricardo, you might want to pick this one up. The Biggest Loser, it's called. And this is my favourite. This is an intriguing title. I've never heard of this or heard any sort of talk up. I don't think many people are talking about it in the video games industry. Women's Murder Club Games of Passion. Out on the 6th of the 11th. Women's Murder Club Games of Passion, or Women's Murder Club Games of Passion. I'm not quite sure whether comma's supposed to
fall. I don't think it's right any way you say it, to be honest. It sounds horrific.
The only other one which I'd really be keen to point out to people, though, is Legend of Zelda Spirit Tracks. If it just builds on the problems that were in the Phantom Hourglass, whips them out and just replaces them with playable, non-frustrating dungeons, then I think we're going to be onto a big thing. Spirit Tracks on the DS. Brian, were you so put off by Phantom Hourglass that you wouldn't really fancy returning to this franchise?
No, I'll give it a go again. All Zelda games, you've got to give them a go, haven't you? And, you know, only occasionally do they get it massively wrong. it happens to be the last one that they released on the DS. But there you go.
Three more stories. I'll just rattle through these. Sarah Palin has signed an Xbox 360. It's gone up for auctions for people to buy. Oh, Sarah Palin, the former presidential candidate. How much do you reckon those bids start at?
$2.
$2 higher.
$10,000.
How does $1.1 million sound for a signed Xbox 360 console by Sarah Palin? A couple of other things to roll through at the moment. Nintendo price cut is on the way. We've seen it for the PS3 and for the Xbox 360. Looks like it could be something like $1,599. I'd be expecting a couple of supermarkets, maybe big retailers, to maybe punt at $1,499 right in the run up to Christmas. But that's going to happen soon. And finally, several police officers in the US may have bowled themselves out of a job when they were caught playing a Nintendo Wii bowling game during a drug raid. The undercover drug investigators faced disciplinary action after a security camera filmed them playing the video game while they raided a convicted drug dealer's home in Polk County, Florida. Nice little story there. Okay, it's a link to the cast on your MP3 player. Now, I've got some news of a new survey. According to a new poll, headlining our fantasy festival lineup will be none other than Queen, with the majority, apparently, of Brits, 42%, agreeing that the band, led by the late Freddie Mercury, would be our first choice to see live on the main stage. Neck in neck for the other top headline slots were David Bowie and the Rolling Stones, supported by Elton John and Bon Jovi, apparently. Dire Straits, so also on there. Joining us to discuss this and more is Rob Fitzpatrick, Associate Editor of the Word Music magazine. Welcome to A Link to the Cast.
Hello, Mick. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Now, this is all part of the sort of, should we say, the push for publicity, if
Absolutely.
We can say that, for Guitar
Hero 5.
I think
we can say that, yeah.
It's interesting, Guitar Hero 5. This is the first game, and we won't mention Rock Band Beatles at the same time, but it's the first time that we've really seen that record companies are starting to really look at video games and think this is a new way to get into the marketing, particularly aimed at younger people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things is that people, you know, develop, you know, if you spend a bit of time playing a game like Guitar Hero 5, then, you know, you become very kind of linked. You get a kind of an emotional link with the music and what you're playing, and I think it then opens up other things to you. You know, I mean, I think you mentioned the survey, you know, and one of the things that, you know, the other thing that came out from the survey is that, you know, in the sort of, we did this kind of survey in London, and, you know, almost 40% of people were saying that one of the great things about games like this is they bring a lot of music that otherwise might have passed people by back into their lives and lets them kind of enjoy it and appreciate it and take part in it in a way that they might not have otherwise been able to do.
Yeah, I remember sort of 2-3 years ago, there was some festival. It was on the Isle of Wight or somewhere. It was somewhere down south, basically. Yeah. And there was a number of artists who were on there who were maybe big, had a couple of, you know, hit songs in the 70s and 80s. And you had just thousands upon thousands of 14, 15, 16-year-olds who'd played Guitar Hero, heard these songs for the first time and thought, actually, I want to find out a little bit more about these guys. What's that? They're an actual band and they're touring locally to me? Then
I know, yeah. Well, I think in a way there's a sort of, there's a kind of a magic to it that you might not get from, you know, just a sort of an MP3 download or something like that, because you do physically feel like you're part of what's going on. and you're taking part, you're actually controlling some of the action. And also I think there's a kind of unmistakable glamour to something that's sort of draped in, you know, silky scarves from the past, you know, that we're looking through, you know, you're looking through a mirror almost, not looking through, you can't look through mirrors, Mick, I've tried, but you know, you're looking through a glass at something that you didn't really know at the time, but you're now trying to, you know, you can take part in now in a different sort of way.
Yeah, you got some obviously bizarre bathrooms in the Word magazine.
I don't want to talk about our bizarre bathrooms. I'm actually under doctor's orders not to mention
two-way mirrors are like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Some of the other people on the list, Johnny Cash is on there, who I know Johnny features Cash. On Guitar Hero 5, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He does, absolutely. Yeah, Ring of Fire.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of kids will know the name. There was, of course, the film Joaquin Phoenix a few years back as well.
Yeah.
Again, it's the way, though, of really sort of getting absorbed into the music and actually playing along with it.
Well, it's an entry point, isn't it? Because, you know, there's people like Johnny Cash on there. There's also Bob Dylan's on there. And there's people, you know, people with sort of vast catalogues of amazing music. And, you know, this is your way in. This is your way into a world that you otherwise might not have known, or you might, you know... It's a way to sort of sample something where otherwise it's almost like too daunting. It's like, where the hell do I start?
Yeah.
You know, and this is a good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Me and the team were sort of talking about the way that record companies are getting involved now. Of course, movies for years, maybe 20 years, as long as video games have been going, movies have come out. Moonwalker, for instance, would always have a video game.
Yeah.
Are we going to see now, do you think, more and more record companies who will introduce maybe a new, say, Killers album, and you'll also be able to download the singles or download the album onto something like Guitar Hero so you can play the album along?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, it sort of elongates... I mean, it's a win-win for everyone, isn't it? Because the record company get to kind of elongate the sort of sales spike or something, and then the games get to be updated, and then, you know, the bands like it because it keeps their music moving along. And I think that, you know, what the whole of the music industry is looking for at the moment is, what do we do next? You know, and there's lots of different people have got lots of different ideas, but what isn't going to happen next is just, well, let's just try and flog more CDs, because that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like it's new routes to market.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously people have said, oh, you know, do we change the way that we charge people? But actually, what this does, and the video games market offers an entirely new way of hearing the music.
Yeah, absolutely.
But with that interactive element as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and that's another really sort of key point about these things, I think, is getting away from thinking, here's a piece of music, this is how much it costs, you know, this is 79p or it's, you know, whatever. And I think the thing about games like this is that it's like added value, really, isn't it? You've got the music, but you've also got something else. You've got an interactivity with it. It's liberating the music, so more, you know, you can enjoy it on lots of different levels.
Yeah, there's been a number of artists who've got involved in projects like Guitar Hero, sort of done the modelling, played along, set up even some sort of challenges and so on and so forth. Slash, for instance, was one of them. How aware is the music industry of the video games industry and the possibilities that are out there?
The sort of two sides to it, aren't they? I mean, I think the record industry, in its what is left of it, looks at the sort of gaming industry and thinks, oh my God, I wish we could have some of that. You know, but then I think the bands are kind of more tuned in almost in a way, and they're seeing that this is a way for their music to reach people in a totally different way. You know, you can go out and buy music, but this is a different way. This is a way you can take part in it. And I think that's the thing, is there are sort of generational shifts. You know, and people thought, oh, why would you buy it? Why would you rebuy all your LPs on a little silver disc? You know, well, but you do, and different generations want to deal with music in a different way.
Yeah, it's interesting that, because we were having the same conversation in that people. My worry is that the Guitar Hero and we've seen Rock Band might be a little bit of a gaming fad. For instance, at the moment, music industry is on its backside to a large extent. Yeah. Gaming industry is booming.
Yeah.
That's not going to last forever.
No, sure.
I don't think. And I wonder whether or not when we get the new generations of Xboxes, whatever that might be, the PlayStation 4, whatever comes out new on Wii, you almost have to leave the other games behind. Do you think that we'll be able to sort of continue that momentum? Is this something which we'll have in sort of, you know, 10, 15 years' time?
Well, yeah, I think it is. But, I mean, the kind of the beauty and the terror of these things is, in 15 years' time, you don't know how you're going to be doing it. Mm. Because 15 years ago, if someone had said, you're going to play, you know, 15 years ago, me and you remember what video games were like 15 years ago. It was a pretty basic, you know, it was Sonic the Hedgehog. It's a pretty basic thing. There was no real interactivity with it. You couldn't, I mean, other than going backwards and forwards and jumping, you know. But I think that what is interesting is that, yes, things will change, and these things are massive now, and but what will happen is that in 10, 15 years' time, there will be ways that that nobody's even thought of yet. That will be, but the music will always be there. That's the thing. The music will drive the different sort of developments in gaming and gameplay and things like that, because people want to, you know, this. Who would have thought that, you know, Foghat would have been listened to by 14-year-olds? You know, but it, to all intents and purposes, before Guitar Hero, Foghat were finished. Yeah. But, you know, and yet now, I know teenagers who like Foghat. You know, this is every day I wake up thinking that's a really mad thing that's happened. And, you know, in the future, it'll be other bands, it'll be other people. You know, maybe Foghat will still be there. I don't know. Yeah. I'm holding out for Foghat, Mick, I've got to say.
The Levellers on tour 2012.
They're never going to be off tour, though, are they? Let's be honest.
In front of 70,000.
They've got
the
buses. They might as well use them.
What would be your fantasy lineup for a festival? Give us three.
Three. Okay. Well, I mean, it's the Beatles. You know, it's not. I'm not shocking anyone, Mick. I'd like to, seeing the Beatles in their prime. That would be pretty amazing. Mm. I'd like to see Jimi Hendrix. That would be amazing. Yep. I'd like to see Public Enemy circa 1988. Absolutely amazing, with the sort of security of the First World Dancers and all that as well. Amazing. That would do for me.
Excellent stuff. Who knows? Maybe Jim will fix it, something like that. Maybe write a letter.
You know what? I think it's beyond even Jim.
Don't put anything past the man. Fitzpatrick, Associate Editor of the Word Music Magazine, thanks for joining us on a link to the cast. Thanks there to the guys over at the Word Magazine. The reviews of Rock Band, Beatles and Guitar Hero 5 fall very shortly. But Brian Shelf, interesting, I thought, that finally the music industry is saying, yes, you know, there's a partnership here with the video games industry. Surely, though, in the end, all comes down to cash. They can see there's plenty of cash in the video games market at the moment.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is the models gradually changing on all these games that originally, of course, they were buying the rights to use people's music. I'm sure with the big bands and the big names that they're still doing that, but to go, you can now go to a smaller band and say, how would you like your track to go on this? Just pay us a few thousand dollars and we'll put your track on and your sales will go up. Mm. So, you know, I'm sure that the games industry are using it as a way to get money out of things. Yeah. I have no doubt that Paramore's recent... I'd never heard of Paramore until Guitar Hero World Tour came out, and now you can't move for them. So, I think it's partially due to that.
There's two things with Paramore. One is Guitar Hero World Tour. The second one is they did the soundtrack to Twilight,
which
was the big emo
spotty
hit
film.
So that's the reason.
Rick, girls are going crazy for that.
Can you imagine, Rick, in the future, bands going, here's the downloadable version of our new album. Here's the CD version, and here's the version you can download.
Gameplay version. Yeah, I can imagine it. I'm not so sure. I like the idea of it, to be honest, but I can definitely see it happening. I thought Metallica were toying with that actually, because they had a new album coming out in the middle of this year, at the same time that Metallica Guitar Hero was coming out. I think they erred away from it in the end. But yeah, I see no reason why they can't put the same album on for digital distribution on your PS3 or your 360 at the same time. I reckon it's only a matter of time. It's definitely going to happen.
Great stuff. Okay, review time. Okay, I'm going to fess up. Normally, I deal with all things Nintendo Wii and Nintendo DS. There are two titles I'm currently sitting on. The first is Scribblenauts on DS, which I'm just starting out on. I'm also just hanging on for Pandora's Box. So depending on when you're listening to this, depending on whether or not you've got hold of one yet, hang fire. We're going to do a full review at the next podcast. I'll do the review of whichever game I think is more essential, basically. So I'm holding on to those for the time being. I don't want to blow my beans too soon. So instead, we're going to aim straight at the musical side of things. Rock Band, Beatles. I will sort of throw my two penneth in, I think, on these as well, because I want to have my say on Guitar Hero 5 DS compatibility. But first, Brian Shelf, let's do Guitar Hero 5. Should we start with that?
Yeah.
Now.
So, oh, right now. Let's. Well, do you know what is there really to say about Guitar Hero apart from the fact, you know what you're getting. It's exactly the same as it previously has been. No, actually, that's not true. There's quite a few sort of nice little new tweaks in it. More sort of sorting out gameplay things from before. Now, when you're playing as a band, everyone can play as guitar as they want, so no one has to have the boring bass patterns. Graphically, it's just been tweaked up a little bit. There's a great thing. There's some challenges now with the games, depending on what instrument you're playing. So if you've got guitar, it's like, can you whammy for at least 120 seconds? during all the long notes in this songs, and that gets you additional stars, it gets you additional content opening up. The key thing is just essentially the track list, and it's absolutely massive this time around. I've been playing it for weeks and weeks, and you know, I've been playing it in career mode and then going and just doing quick play and jumping in, you know, and I've still not opened everything up just because I haven't got through the whole career. I think it's a better track list than there was on Guitar Hero World Tour. I liked World Tour, but it didn't have any of sort of the big songs that Guitar Hero 3 had. Greatest Hits, obviously it's a greatest hit, so it's got some of the best ones on it. I think there's some fantastic tracks on this, but you know, I'm going to show my ignorance here. You know, bands that I've never really listened to before, like Queens of the Stone Age. There's one called Make It With You on there, which is absolutely fantastic. Can't stop playing that. Got my first 100% on expert on that the other day. Yeah, whoop, 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 whoop. You know, that's kind of it, really. There's been some problems. I know some people who've had the Wii version. I don't think this has been a problem on any of the other consoles, but some people who've had the Wii version, you're supposed to be able to import the tracks or some of the tracks from World Tour and from Greatest Hits into it. And the Wii shop was down for absolutely ages, so that just wasn't working for people. And I still think some people are still struggling to get this imported content from the previous games in. So, but you know, there's 85 odd tracks in there anyway, so you kind of don't really need it.
So if I've downloaded Debaser,
yeah,
from World Tour,
you should be able to play it on your Wii. You've got to go and download something else, but then when that downloaded, it wasn't originally working, and then now apparently it all is, or, you know, you've got to kind of keep up day to day on this, but apparently there was some big problem. Activision were saying it was Nintendo's fault. Nintendo were saying it wasn't their fault, blah-de-blah-de-blah. You know, it may well be working now. I haven't actually gone on to check on a Wii to see if that's where see if that's working. But no,
my Wii is full at the moment. I need to get
mine. Is.
The songs, you download songs. I literally had to sort of clear off three or four WiiWare titles and Virtual Console titles just to fit the song. They're massive. The actual additional songs that you buy.
You can put them on your SD card, though. Yeah, and now, of course, on the Wii, you can play games off your SD card. There's been an update. Yeah. So you can, if you just buy a 4 gig SD card for, well, about £5 now, then you know you're never going to have problems.
Cool. You reviewed the Xbox 360 version. If we can just touch on the Wii version, because it has a special little sort of gimmick, should we call it, and it's probably nothing more than that, but obviously Guitar Hero, they've realised they're sort of at the end in terms of what they can do. They've got all the music's there. You can now have this sort of party mode where you opt in and opt out and all that sort of jazz. So they thought, what more can we do? For the DS, they've got this special compatibility thing where you can go on your DS download play and download roadie mode. And what you can do is you play as a roadie. So, for instance, me and Rick would be playing. I would be Rick's roadie. Brian Shelf would be playing with his imaginary friend. And his imaginary friend would be Brian Shelf's roadie. What I can do on the DS is try and sabotage Brian Shelf's guitar. I can do this in a number of ways. For instance, I can cut the strings and restring them the wrong way round, so that he has to then play the guitar flipped reversed,
which is insanely frustrating.
Yeah.
I did well then to get a thingy Blazing Squad reference in flip reverse. Awesome. Also, for instance, speakers, you can cock up the speakers. You can set the guitar on fire, so you have to sort of you have to blow it out. You can also mess up with the wires on the amps and so on and so forth. The only thing is you can't attack and defend at the same time. So if you want to attack your opponent's roadie could actually be attacking your guy's guitar. So, Rick, your guitar could be under attack. I would then have to click onto defend mode, and I sort of, there's a little animation, the roadie sort of
runs across the stage.
And then I have to fix all the problems that they've created. So, you've got to find the balance. It's quite an interesting thing. Having played it, though, the joy of Guitar Hero is the actual playing of the guitar, and the fact that your strings get cocked up and all that sort of stuff takes away from the enjoyment. So the fun's there for the roadie, but actually for the player,
that's exactly what it's about, isn't it? The roadie's having all the fun sitting behind watching the people standing up trying to stress with whatever the other guy's done to it.
So actually,
it's a good family little thing, but, I think, you want to make dad look silly and he's up there with a guitar, but I don't think, in terms of people who enjoy Guitar Hero, it's not really...
I think you've got maybe three or four plays in that before you think, you know what, I just want to play the guitar.
Yeah, it was rubbish.
So that's a bit of exclusive stuff to the Wii version, but obviously Brian Shelf taking a look at the 360 version, PS3 version, very similar as well, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. So they've all got that backwards compatibility, the same program. I saw that on the PlayStation Store a while ago. So you, whatever you've downloaded for World Tour, again, you can play in this Guitar Hero 5, which I think is a great thing. Not that it needs it. Like you say, what, is it 90 tracks already in there?
Something like that. 85, I think.
What would make you stop playing this game?
Probably Guitar Hero 6 coming out.
Are you that addicted?
No, that's good.
I play it an absolute load. It's taken over from Bejeweled Blitz. Although I've just got Picross on the DS.
Yeah.
So that's actually dangerous. Eating into
There's
time.
Picross 3D coming out before Christmas.
My girlfriend is majorly into Picross at the moment.
No, I don't want the 3D one, though. That's like when they did Tetris 3D. Rubbish.
We're tight on time, so we're going to move on. Rock band Beatles, Brian Shelf, you've also sort of been playing that in a compare and contrast sort of way. I've only managed to play it for a short amount of time, one of my review copy came in, but it's very good.
It is very good. It's very good. I'm not the biggest Beatles fan ever in the world, but I'll tell you what's interesting about it. Strangely, on Guitar Hero, no one wants to play the bass. If you're playing Rock Band Beatles, play the bass. The bass lines are amazing. I've got a newfound respect for Paul McCartney. It's really good. But it can finally settle the battle, because for years online, there's huge, big fallout between Rock Band fans and Guitar Hero fans. And, you know, as far as you read, you know, I thought when I played this, I'm either going to absolutely love it and think, why was I wasting my time on Guitar Hero? Or I'm going to absolutely hate it because I got so used to playing Guitar Hero that, you know, this was alien to me. Well, I can finally reveal that they're almost identical and there's very little difference between them whatsoever. It's exactly the same control method. You've got star power. There's little things like when you're doing a solo, it gives you a percentage of the solo, and but you kind of got that in the stats afterwards anyway. The only thing is the things, instead of being round, are thin, and it's slightly harder to make out when you can do the hammer-ons and the pull-offs
and
stuff like that.
They both robbed so much off each other, I think.
They started from the original place, but I was kind of slightly annoyed. I thought I was going to see something a million times different from what I'd seen before, and it's virtually the same. The only thing is, Rock Band Beatles, must be said, the visuals are absolutely stunning. Yes. But you don't watch that when you're playing on your own, because you're just constantly watching that stream of little blobs coming towards you.
I've got a little problem with Guitar Hero. Rock Band Beatles, in fact. I've been looking to try and get this maybe for my mum for Christmas, because I got her a Wii last year and she's a big Beatles fan. I was thinking she might enjoy this, play it on easy, just enjoy a few Beatles songs. You can't buy it with just a guitar. You either have to spend £130 on getting the band in the box, which is a drum kit and a guitar and mic and the game, or you can buy the game itself. Now, they've released a guitar for it, and you mentioned it in a previous podcast. It's a slick looking guitar, but it only comes by itself and it's like £80.
The Hufner bass one?
Yeah. It's because it's a special Guitar Hero Hufner bass guitar. They've actually charged it because it's wireless as well for your Wii's. Well, which it should be anyway for the Wiimote, but I can't find it anywhere with a guitar.
Hang on.
It's not online.
Perhaps it's just sold out. I remember seeing it. I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
No, you can get the guitar, but I'm telling you, it doesn't come with a game.
That was the big scandal with the first Rock Band that came out ever, wasn't it? The band in the box, and everyone bought it and got home, and it's like, where's the game? You can't get the game with it.
Brilliant.
Well, if you can figure out whether or not Rick's telling the truth,
it's true.
Or not,
I've been around so many shops, and every
online,
shop owner.
Did you go online?
I've been online as well. I've been around every shop owner. Oh, is that what it's called? Yeah, absolutely.
You've done the whole internet.
Well, not the whole internet. I'm sure people were packaging up the Hufner bass guitar, but I don't want to buy my mum the Hufner bass. She won't know that any different from a regular Guitar Hero or Rock Band guitar, will she? She won't use the slidey bit.
So you're going to fool your mum?
No, I'm not fooling my mum. I'm just getting her a guitar that she'll enjoy and a game which she'll enjoy.
No, that's what she's worth to you. That's absolutely fine. What would make
you
stop?
I don't appreciate your cut of your jib here.
What would stop you?
I don't really like what you're doing here.
He's going to walk out.
Brad Shelf, what would make you stop playing Rock Band Beatles? I thought it was fantastic, by the way.
It was getting Guitar Hero 5 and also Yellow Submarine. Awful song. Why is that dreadful?
Okay, so our man on all things PlayStation 3 is Ricardo. Rick, you've been playing Blaze Blue, not Blue Blaze, on PS3. It's a Japanese beat-em-up.
That's right, yeah. Regular listeners to the cast will know that when we got Street Fighter 4, I was really excited about it, and it was pretty awesome, but I was more than a little bit annoyed because it is so unfriendly to anyone who actually wants to play it and isn't already a Street Fighter 2 god. So comboing up on it is insanely hard. So I was looking for another 2D beat-em-up that had that kind of depth to it, but also a bit more welcoming. And Blaze Blue is exactly that and so much more. It is a true two-dimensional beat-em-up. It's all been hand-drawn. Every pixel, well, pixel on screen. Everything you see on screen has been drawn by hand. Every frame of animation singly crafted over in pure 1080p high def. So the thing looks absolutely unbelievable on screen. But action-wise, and of course that's what really matters, this is it. This is so enjoyable. It's basically got a four-button mechanic, so you've got your light, your medium, and your heavy punches or attacks, and then you've got a fourth button, which is basically a do-something-cool button. It's like a drive, I think they call. And the different characters you've got have got different kinds of styles to their drives. So you've got your base character, your Jin Kisaragi, who whenever he does a drive combo, it ends up freezing your opponent. They have to waggle their stick and bash the buttons to get out of it. You've got another one, which basically her drive, she combos up with guns, and she can, you know, juggle people by shooting them in air and stuff. So they all do something a little bit different, and sometimes they affect the gameplay. Another one, Rachel Alucard, she's a vampire, and she can use her drive to affect the wind, so she can blow your opponent around. Now, it's not a true beat-em-up in some respects, because when you look back at, like, Street Fighter or Soul Calibur, all your damage is dealt by one-to-one physicals or fireballs, ranged attacks and stuff. The thing with Blaze Blue is it's so different to any other beat-em-up you've played. Some of the characters, like Rachel, I was just mentioning, she has little traps that she can set. She can throw out these kind of these poles which stick in the ground, and then her special moves allow her to electrify not just herself, but any of these poles that she's put into the stage. So it kind of becomes a tactical game of where you place yourself, how you range yourself from, you know, being away from this, so you don't get electrocuted by her. You know, so it's a really complex and deep game. It's a very tricky one to play against.
So it's like a third dimension within the,
yeah,
the second dimension.
I mean, everybody's familiar with typical beat 'em up dynamics where you've got the big guy who hits hard but he's a bit slow, so he usually cops a bit of damage. It's like an extra layer to that, because you do have that kind of depth in the characters as well. But it's also about judging what your opponent can do. Like I say, you've got a girl who uses guns, but she's got set ranges for her weapons, so you're kind of trying to gauge your distances from that. You've got another one which can move the wind. You've got one character who can just fly around the screen. She can do triple jumps, so not only jump in the air, but she can jump a second time in the air and then a third time, so she's really maneuverable. And that's where this game kind of stretches, because when you take on one character, when you start playing the game, you quickly learn how to do a few combos. You will be bashing out 8 to 10 hit combos quite quickly, but if you go online and you go up against a pro, they can pull off a 40 hit combo or a 60 hit combo in a blink, and that's the depth. But the joy of the game is you can so get into it so quickly and so easily. And when it's presented in the way that it is, and it is absolutely stunning, there's very little I can say against it. Probably the most annoying thing, if I've got a nitpick, is the fact that, like a lot of Japanese games and Japanese beat-em-ups particularly, it is an absolute assault on your ears. Every single move that you have, everything that happens in the game has a soundbite associated with it. Now, these soundbites might change depending on specific matchups, but like one girl, she'll shout, give me the panda, because this other girl's got a panda in her hair or whatever, every time she does the same move over and over again. So when you're comboing up and you're trying to pull a 15-hit combo, it's like every one of them has got a soundbite to it. It's absolutely loud as hell, but that's kind of the territory you enter when you go for a 2D Japanese beat-em-up. So, you know, you've got to forgive it, I think, at some point. How do I think about it? Well, I think I've already made it clear. I think this is the beat-em-up that I was looking for. This is everything I wanted. Street Fighter, I've not even put on against since. And that's saying something, because I was so excited about that.
Well, that was the killer test I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
In that case, then, what will make you stop playing this game?
Probably, as I was mentioning there, the assault. Ooh. The absolute bombardment on my ears. If just for some respites, for some peace and quiet, I think I would put this down, switch it off, and actually leave the controller alone.
And just very finally, Rick, on this review, I love the phrase beat 'em up.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think that we should go back to the old English, beat them up.
Beat them up.
So could you just say for me, Blaze Blue is my favorite beat them up available on PlayStation 3.
For you, Mick, and only for you. Blaze Blue is my favorite beat them up on the PlayStation 3.
It's not the
even in arcades, in fact. Are we going to do the same with shoot 'em ups? Because they're not even
shoot
they're shmups
up.
Now. People just say shmups.
No, let's expand it.
Should we shoot them ups? Yeah. I love R-Type as a shoot them up.
Shoot
you
them
use
up
that?
And beat them ups.
Very good.
Let's bring it back.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll tell you what, talking of rock band Beatles, Craig in Liverpool's been on Twitter. He says, now then, guys, rock band Beatles is fantastic. Definitely a classic. And the only thing that can make me turn it off is Rumpy Pumpy. Craig in Liverpool via Twitter giving us far too much information there, but a big fan of rock band Beatles. But what would make him stop? Rumpy Pumpy.
If you use the term Rumpy Pumpy, I don't think you're going to get that much of it.
Excellent stuff. Rob says, if Rick is having issues with back waxing and passing out, I would be more than happy to put myself in the frame as a new PS3 reviewer. I have a non-hairy back and have never ever passed out while lying down. Rob, thanks for your email there. Chris in Belfast. Hi, guys. Took the week off work to get hold of FIFA 10. Does not disappoint. Why not do a podcast on Pro Evo versus FIFA? Who comes out on top?
All football games are rubbish.
All football games are out of date within 12 months and the argument starts again.
Yeah, but then that's you just get a new one, don't you?
Yeah.
Sports games as a rule. Oh, snooze. But there you go. I hate sport, full stop.
Headline competition. A story from the world of video games. But the question is, what is the headline from the world of video games? The story was this. Zelda's hero took part in a practice session with his angry sibling. Zelda's hero took part in a practice session with his angry sibling. If that happened in real life, what would the story, the headline read in the newspaper? Ricardo's face is a pitch here. Oh, you don't have a clue, do you, mate?
No, I'm lost. Absolutely lost here.
Rick's out of here. Brian Shelf, you got it last week.
Yeah, I haven't got a clue on this. I've got Link. I've written down three words. Link, spa, and sister. Yeah.
Okay,
furious
right.
Furious genetic
I'm in the right area.
okay, well, Zelda's hero is...
Link.
A sibling could be...
Brother or sister. Yeah.
What's a shorter version of a brother?
Bro.
Angry. If you're angry, you might be...
Mad.
Cross.
Cross Link's crossbow challenge.
Practice session training.
Crossbow.
Oh, you got it.
Oh,
go on, Brian, deliver it.
Link's crossbow challenge.
Link's crossbow training.
Training. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Oh, my word.
That was like
just no rules
stars
about this,
Vic
is there?
Reeves moment there. There was no need for the silence there at all.
That's awful. It's truly bad.
Probably the worst. Right, I thought last week you'd done a really good job, to be honest.
Oh, you weren't here, though, were you?
Oh, so but I heard up. It.
Okay, right. Thanks for listening to A Link to the Cast. You can go to our website. It's www.alinktothecast.co.uk. You can follow us on Twitter as well. Just go on whatever it is, twitter.com/A Link to the Cast. Next time around, we're going to do an update podcast, so it'll be episode 7B. We're going to be discussing which is the greatest controller of all time. Now, we're all going to champion our favourite bits of kit and decide once and for all which is the greatest controller in console history. So get your thinking caps on. If you want to email us about that, you can do. Just go to the website and email the team from there. Keep your thinking. Rick's already thinking. He's got one. He's got one. Brian Shelf as well. I'm going to be talking about the N64 one, so I look forward to that. Right, that's us. We are A Link to the Cast. Thanks for joining us. We shall speak to you next time round. Brian... Say goodbye.
Bye.
Ricardo, welcome back.
Ciao.
Now say goodbye.
Ciao.
We're A Link to the Cast. See you next time. Real life, which he obviously hadn't or hasn't, could happen soon. I don't know. What would the headline read in the new newspaper? Have a think. We'll come back to this by the end of the podcast. Right, you happy with that one?
Yeah, blah, 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 blah.
Can I rub your pen? Yeah. And what is Link's sibling?
Link's hero. Zelda's hero is Link.
Oh, well, I assume Link was the main man.
Yeah, well, Zelda, Princess Zelda.
Oh, it's
her
Princess
hero
Zelda,
is...
yeah. Flipping it. You'd think I wouldn't play games. Carry on.
Outtake.
Yeah.